Yeah, hashtag fuck cancer.
Hey.
Hey.
Is that him?
Hey, how's it going?
The myth? The legend?
Well, I guess we had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's called, Discord for browsers sucks fucking dick.
I didn't realize there were going to be extra steps in this process, so I apologize.
Hey, we got you here now, brother. That's all that matters. I'm sad that our time with you is going to get cut shorter than we would like it to, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
But we're here, you're here, I should say, to talk about our favorite films, our favorite summer movies when we were kids.
Yeah. Now,
you do the classiest goddamn movie podcast on the internet. Wait, the classiest gosh darn movie podcast on the internet. Justin, I told you, you keep your potty mouth clean.
Yeah. While Jaden, I've learned from that experience to keep my mouth as clean as possible.
Where is that? You both have been on the show before. But look, it's 12:16 on a Friday night / Saturday morning. It's okay to let one or two slip here and there.
JD, why did you want to talk about favorite movies, favorite summer movies that we had as kids?
Well, I mean, with the summer movie season upon us, it just kind of made sense, I think, to stick with a summer theme. And I don't know, I guess, you know, since having Sam, I've reflected a lot on my childhood in a lot of ways. So it just made sense, you know, those two things clashing together. So here we are. I don't know if you guys, while I was trying to figure out the whole technical stuff, did you guys begin the segment at all? Did you guys have any picks of your own?
We didn't start it at all. But I mean, I was prepared for it because summer movie season for me as a kid, it was always one of the most special. I look back at it and I can remember very vividly almost every single summer as a kid and what movie I watched. So it's something that very, very close to my heart.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. And I think part of it also is I can't remember which episode it was, but maybe a month or so ago, we were talking about like nostalgic movies on our show. And there were two movies that came to mind specifically that were big for me. And one of them was when I was five. And maybe this isn't a quote-unquote summer movie. I am actually not sure when it came out, but it feels like a summer movie, so I'm going to go with it. But I was five, and it was when the first live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie came out. Do you guys remember that at all?
Yes.
I saw it opening night in theaters. Yeah. I actually saw all three of the original Ninja Turtle movies opening night in the theater in this really dingy, crappy, like pretty ghetto theater my grandmother would be taking us to. Because it had been there for many years, but that's where we went, and we saw it opening night, and it was amazing. I love that movie. I still watch it all the time as an adult and enjoy it for what it is. And I actually think that, and I give it a lot of credit. A lot of people give me hate for it, but I still think it's one of the best adaptations of comic book material for its time because it took it very seriously. It did things that were not heard of at the time. It went dark in certain places, and it took the subject matter about a bunch of teenage mutant ninja turtles as they are very seriously. And I love that movie very much for that.
Yeah, I love it too, and it holds a special place in my heart because I was like 5 or 6 years old at the time when it came out, and like we grew up pretty poor, so going to the movie theater was almost entirely out of the picture. But this was one moment where my father splurged on me, and it was the first time I actually went to the theaters with my dad. Having that experience was really impactful for me as a kid. And for the reason you're talking about, I enjoyed the movie as well. I was a big fan of the cartoon as a kid. So that was certainly one that, you know, stuck with me. So when I think about my childhood, it's pretty easy to recall that memory.
I was a wee tiny teeny little boy. I don't remember it, but I was told when I was very young that I was taken to Ghostbusters as a young boy when it first opened, and that film for me. You know how I owned literally I think every Ghostbusters toy I owned the proton pack. I owned the trap with the little, like, you know, air activated. Mm-hmm. It was like an air hose, and it would, the trap doors and shit would pop open and everything. Yeah. I loved Ghostbusters. That was like, when I think like growing up, like just those movies. And of course we bought it on VHS when we could. Here comes the money. And Bill, $2 donation plus one tech support, Nick. Thank you, Bill. I don't understand why nothing is working the way I fucking want it to, and I'm pissed off about it, and I'm going to fucking scream. But, yeah, Ghostbusters is for me.
I'll be gone soon. I'll be gone soon, for real, though, because I'm going to bed soon.
We saw some... Or Justin, did you chime in with yours yet, or...?
Yes. Well, sort of.
I commented on JD's that I love, but mine is the one that I talk about on the show. It's my favorite movie of all time still because of what it is, but I won't tell a long story about it because I've told it a million times on the show. Tim Burton's Batman film, the original Batman, opening night at the local drive-in theater. I had looked forward to it for weeks. I was a little kid, 5 or 6 years old, if I recall. I think it was 6.
Drinking Drano.
That's the reason why we're friends, Nick, and why we have this podcast is because of that movie. Because of our love of it. But I remember like it was yesterday, and even when it was the 25th anniversary, I actually went out and went to the area where the drive-in was. They'd actually demolished it, but I stood there and took photos and just relived it as an adult, which is some people kind of weird, but it's very sentimental. I love it. It's still, to me, one of my, it is my favorite movie, and I wouldn't love movies, cinema, film, anything in general if it wasn't for that movie. So
nice.
That Tim Burton's Batman.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. I was a little older when I saw that. I think I was in high school, so it was probably like early 2000s when I first caught up with it. But yeah, I'm a big fan as well. So that's very cool. I think as far as like a defining moment, when I was older, as far as like a film that I guess in a similar way helped me fall in love with movies a little bit more. And I would have been 12, I think. But that was Will Smith in Men in Black was a summer movie that just entranced me. There's something about that film with the humor, the camaraderie of Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones that just embedded itself into me. And I can revisit that film today and have the exact same feeling of watching it in the cinemas in 1997. And it's one of those mainstream blockbusters that just, you know, like you were saying with Batman, it just helps you fall in love with movies. And obviously that evolves over time and becomes, you know, that comes in many different forms. But yeah, in a lot of ways, Men in Black was one of those that, as a 12-year-old JD just fell in love with movies because of that film. So
I have to mention one other film. I know we're running short on time, but I won't go long, I promise, guys. But this is a movie that for me, I watch it every year to get myself in the summer movie season. And this summer I'm actually taking the opportunity to go and visit the locations for which this film was shot. That's Steven Spielberg's Jaws. It was the first official summer blockbuster. It's one of my top five favorite movies of all time. And there's something about that movie that when I listen to the score, I wait till like at least like midway through May, maybe the end of May, early June. I start listening to the score, and then I watch the movie, usually in the theater, because around here we get to see it in the theater. And then, you know, for me, that means the kickoff of summer in general, not just summer movie season, but like summer, like going to the pool, going to the beach, hanging out in the sun, going for walks in the forest when it's hot. Like everything about that movie screams summer. So I have to mention that because I'm a huge Jaws fan. So that's the one movie for me, at least as far as summer movies go, that's one that screams summer movie to me the most.
Yeah. I think that's a great pick.
God, I have not seen Jaws in fucking like ages, man. It's been
we did our Spielberg challenge last July, but neither of us really, a lot of our listeners and followers,
I watched like one Spielberg film that month, if that. I don't even remember.
I feel horrible about that.
Maybe I just didn't have any fucking time.
Then we'll just actually watch them.
Yeah,
I could watch Spielberg all day. I love him. Like Close Encounters of the Third Kind is one of my all-time favorite films. Top 20 for me.
So good.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Close Encounters before.
It's incredible.
I don't think so. I missed a lot of movies. The 80s was my decade of missing a lot of movies because my parents never took me to the movies. We lived too far away from the theater, and like I got to go to the movies maybe twice a year, and we didn't get Video King until like the early 90s.
And for those unfamiliar, Video King is probably only something familiar to Nick and I because we're from the upstate New York Southern Tier area, and that was a local chain of video stores similar to Blockbuster, but cooler because each different area were like there was the Western area and the horror area. They built up those areas to look like, hey, it's a Western, so go through some doors and go into like a saloon, or the horror area was like you went into a haunted house area. It was the coolest shit ever, and I'll miss it.
Nice.
I want to, one more time before JD rolls off of the air here, I want to go ahead one more time, guys, over in the chat, chance to win a live stream for The Cure t-shirt, hashtag fuck cancer, type it in. I've already got Bill, Brooke, and Jared entered into the contest. Get your votes in now. And JD, I want you to actually hang for just a moment. I want you to hang for just a moment. And I actually want to bring Shane in just a moment here, and I want to ask him what his favorite movie as a kid was before you peace out. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Jared said Wrath of Khan. Brooke, Search for Spock. A lot of Star Trek up there.
Nice.
A lot of Star Trek up there. Yours?
I mentioned The Sandlot.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
The Sandlot. The
Sandlot, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God Dan's not on here now.
You didn't say it into the microphone. You're sitting back.
I did
here.
Earlier. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I mean, with our technical issues, we don't know what we can hear and what we can't hear.
Exactly. Well, I'm gonna try something when we bring Shane in. I've got one more trick up my sleeve when we bring him in. Winters, welcome to the chat. I feel like I haven't talked to Justin Winters in forever. How the hell are you, my friend? Winters also entered. Last chance, guys. Hashtag fuck cancer. Your chance to win a live stream for The Cure t-shirt. Get it over in the chat. JD, before you end up rolling out of here, I'm sorry that the technical difficulties is going to cut your segment short, but tell the live stream for The Cure audience about In Session Film, about why it is the classiest goddamn film podcast on the planet, and where we can find you.
Well, really appreciate the kind words. We are In Session Film, and on our show, we will talk about some of those fun cinema movies, such as Infinity War and the Deadpools and the Mission Impossibles. But, you know, equally, we like to talk about your indie films like your Moonlights and your La La Lands, or sometimes your Vertigos. You know, we talked about Vertigo on the show last week.
Saw that, man.
Which was a lot of fun. Yeah, so it was great revisiting that. I think we're going to do 2001 A Space Odyssey later on in the year, since it had an anniversary this year as well. We try to cover the gamut. I mean, we like your fun, geeky properties, but we also like your, you know, thought-provoking and challenging art films as well. So you can find everything that we do at InSessionFilm.com. You can find links to our podcast there, links to social media, links to reviews, and really pretty much everything that's InSessionFilm.com. And thanks for having me, guys. Really, really appreciate and cannot encourage everyone to go and donate enough. Really great cause, and I love that you guys are putting this on.
Help if my microphone was turned up. Thank you very, very much, JD, for being on the stream. Yeah. Absolutely love you, man. Love your show.
Mm-hmm. Thank
I
you.
Always look to JD when I need somebody to go more in depth and more analytical than even I think I go sometimes. You guys are always my go-to for that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and drag Shane from Now That I'm Older over in here. And Shane, before JD leaves, I wanted to actually ask you, what was your favorite summer movie as a kid?
What was my favorite summer movie as a kid?
Yes.
I got to say Batman 89.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that, man.
I even told this as an intro story now that I'm older. Because it was the first, I'd gone to see Bambi was the first ever movie I went to go see in the theaters. And that was a huge fucking letdown because Bambi's mom gets shot and shit. And then when we went to Batman, when we go to Batman and shit, like we go to Batman and it's like back in the day where there's like three theaters and the whole movie theater and shit like that. And there's a line around the corner. And my grandmother is like, I don't know, like 52 at this point. And she's like standing in the line, just bitching the whole time. Just God damn it. I can't believe we're waiting on damn movie. I hope this movie's really good. And it was the most amazing movie experience that I'd had. Like everything I'd watched at home, everything I'd seen, like everything, Batman blew me out of the water.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
That's a great pick.
And yeah, as Justin said, that movie is pretty much single-handedly the reason that we are the friends that we are and why the Epic Film Guys podcast exists. So there it is. Justin's arm right there in the chat. JD, thank you very, very much for joining us on the live stream for The Cure. Yeah. You're amazing, and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And really, Shane, we're going to break into some 90s movie brackets in just a second here. After I give away a t-shirt for the live stream for The Cure. Here we go. Let's go ahead and roll that drum, baby. The winner of a live stream for The Cure t-shirt. Destruction in Human Form, Jared Taylor. Justin, can you believe it's almost time?
Time for what?
The 2019 live stream for The Cure. This is our third year hosting this amazing event with every single cent going toward cancer research.
The Cancer Research Institute funds research into immunotherapy to create a future immune to all forms of cancer.
And this amazing nonprofit organization is rated over 92% by CharityNavigator.org and puts 88 cents of every dollar toward cancer research.
Last year, thanks to an amazing team of collaborators, fans, supporters, and listeners, we raised over $5,000 in 30 hours on the air.
And this year, with your help, we're going for our biggest goal yet.
Tune in May 17th to the 19th on twitch.tv/epicfilmguys for 40 hours of amazing content as we try to reach $7,500.
And for more information or to find out how you can become a part of the event, please visit www.livestreamforthecure.com. Together, we can make a difference. Gentlemen, over in the chat, why don't we get a hashtag Lisa and Sam. Hashtag Lisa and Sam. Throw it up over there in the chat for your chance to win. Justin, what do you want to give away? What do you want to give away right now?
I want to give away the sauce.
We're giving away Loy sauce, ladies and gentlemen. Win your very own God of Podcasting.
Loy sauce.
Whatever you want to do with them. No, I don't know.
Literally.
Epic Film Guys t-shirt, but what about a classic Epic Film Guys t-shirt?
Ooh, a classic Epic Film Guys t-shirt it is. Cool. We've already got entries pouring in over in the chat. Get in there, guys. Hashtag Lisa and Sam for coming in and for being a part of the live stream for The Cure. Don't forget to make those donations. Every penny goes toward our quest to reach $5,000 for cancer research for the Cancer Research Institute. We are now 62.5% of the way there. $5,000 we're going to raise. So get in there. Please, please, please make those donations at livestreamforthecure.com. Links, Twitch and YouTube down below. Go and find them down below. Get them in there, chat. I know you guys are in there. I know you guys are in there. Stop pissing. Stop touching yourselves. Stop tugging your dicks. Whatever you're doing in there. Get in there. Hashtag Lisa and Sam for an Epic Film Guys classic. A classic Epic Film Guys t-shirt. We have Fuzzy Dan from Who Spiked the Puns coming up next to talk about guilty pleasure flicks. Justin was just climbing an imaginary ladder. I feel like, oh,
my Lord. All right, we're climbing, man. That number just keeps going up. Thanks to all of our supporters, all the podcasts that got involved with this, yourself for all your hard work, dedication, Director Brennick for everything he's done for the event, everyone in the stream right now, every single person that has done something for this event or the Epic Film Guys. Maybe we're going to get there.
Go ahead and one more time, chat. One more time. Get it up in there. Throw up that hashtag, Lisa and Sam. Thank you very much to the ladies from the I Shake My Head podcast. Absolutely wonderful. Here we go. Interrupted Tales checking in with another $5 donation. Come, 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 come. In the words of the doc. Oh, Dan, you're not a doc sub, are you? Damn it. I was going to say, we need to get some Doc War Cries going over on the Twitch chat. I'll do it. I'll do it, goddammit. Doc War Cries over in the Twitch chat. Let's go ahead, Justin, and welcome all the way from down under, from the land where they use dollary dues as money. Ladies and gentlemen, our Podfix brother from Australia, from Who Spiked the Puns, which is just one of the most fun podcasts you'll ever listen to and that you'll ever have the pleasure to be on if you're ever on it. Fuzzy Dan is here.
I come from a land down under. How you going, brother?
Good, good. And you are here to talk about guilty pleasure movies. Is that correct?
Absolutely, man. I thought this is... I needed to like bring it down a bit, bring down the tone of all these highbrow movie discussions and like bring it down to the shitty movies that everybody, they don't want to admit that they watch, but they watch. They watch.
The shitty movies that I love. I don't care. I'm proud of the shitty movies that I love.
Excellent. Well, that's good because this is, I did this in, especially in honor of a film that was released on the 19th of May, 2005. So it's officially a teenager right now. Any guesses as to what it might be?
2005?
I hope it's not on your fucking list. It is Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
We just talked about how we actually liked it and thought it was pretty good.
That's not even on my guilty pleasure list. I just love that.
Come on! Yeah, okay, fair enough then. Well, look, that was my inspiration because I know there's a lot of people that like it. There's a lot of people that shit on it. It's a little bit, you know, controversial for some. But yeah, for me, like, I know I love watching shitty movies. There are movies that I can sit down and just zone out to when I'm hungover on the couch, like this morning. I intend to go and watch a couple of them after this. Yeah. So that's what I'm going with. Those hangover movies that we watch.
Well, we are going to go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, all entries are in. The winner of a classic Epic Film Guys t-shirt Emily Prokop of The Story Behind Hate to Wait ePodcast Productions, the 17 other podcasts she probably started this week. We love you, Emily. Thank you for joining us earlier today to talk about the Mandela Effect. You know what the Mandela Effect is, Fuzzy?
Is that the one where you think he's dead, but he's not actually dead?
That was where it was born, actually. She told us, yes, that was actually where that was born from. So, yes.
It's like the Berenstain or the Berenstain Bears?
Yes.
Like, you know, yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yes. And, so, I need to go grab a cup of coffee really quick. So, why don't you guys go ahead and get started? I'll still be able to hear you.
Sure.
Talking about guilty pleasure movies. This is just basically every movie that Justin's ever loved, really.
Come on. You're the one. Actually, I'm not going to spoil it because I know you're going to bring it up. We talked about it last night, but I won't ruin it.
Oh, baby.
I'm not going to stab you yet for that. But I'm going to mention one of my first guilty pleasure flicks. And I even know a lot of people that love guilty pleasure movies, like awful movies, that still think this movie is not watchable in any way, shape, or form. But I am referring to a movie that came out in 1993, an adaptation of one of the most popular video game franchises of all time. It'd be Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah. That is beyond a guilty awful. Pleasure.
It's beyond awful. I saw this in theaters. And a lot of these movies I did, actually. A lot of the movies that I have on my short list here, I saw in theaters. And I liked it. It was like opening weekend. I was a kid. I was really looking forward to it. I actually even had the action figures. They had action figures out for it and everything. Rewatch it like a couple years back. I mean, I got through it and I had a lot of fun with it, but I didn't realize. I'm like, oh my God, I must have been a complete moron as a kid.
Hey, Justin, I watched this again recently with the Shake and Not Nerd Boys, another podcast from the Podfix Network. We got drunk around at their place, had a big party, and recorded this for one of their episodes. That movie is, wow, it's next level, right? It's just batshit crazy the whole way through.
I think one of the redeeming factors about it is its cast. I mean, when you see Dennis Hopper, when you watch him at that point in his career, you know that like this guy was like one of the best performers of his day. And he's in this kind of movie playing King Koopa with that fucking haircut and everything, the tongue and everything. It's like literally like you can't believe you're seeing this. And then, of course, John Leguizamo, he was young. He was up and coming. I think he's pretty likable in the movie. And you can't forget Bob Hoskins. He's a great Mario. He's an English dude playing an Italian plumber. I mean, you can't get better than that.
It was full on Italian American. Like you could literally see the pizza sauce dripping off him at the time. Yeah. It was a lot of like very terrible. But hey, look, it was fun at least. Like you watch that movie, and you can see why as a kid you would have enjoyed it because it was just like batshit insane. But as an adult, you sit back and you watch it and you go, maybe not. Not on board for that.
Not a good adaptation at all whatsoever. I know there's a huge backstory about it, which intrigues me more than the movie itself, about the making of it and all the battles people went through and what they shifted the tone of it like 3 or 4 times by the time it got actually in theaters. So it just sounds like a hodgepodge, a number of different shit, a bunch of different shit that happened to it. That's why it's just so iconic as one of the best bad movies to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I still want an explanation for that giant testicle that's descending from the ceiling.
Oh, dude. Because it creeped me out as a kid. I had no idea what that was, but I was like interested by it. I don't know.
Interested by descending testicles? Yes. Paging Dr. Freud. We'll get onto that for you. Yes. Oh, awesome, man. Well, look, I can hear that and appreciate that. For me, I think my number one guilty pleasure movie, look, and I will be judged for this. I need you to go back in time with me, though. It's 2003. Colin Farrell was the hottest ticket in Hollywood, and a balls-to-the-wall reboot of a rubbish two-season TV show was on the table. Samuel L. Jackson signed up as a hard-ass sergeant. I'm talking SWAT. From 2003.
So I've never seen this movie.
What? Get out of town. It's awful.
I totally skipped it. I remember when it came out, and you know, I'm a heavy theater goer, always have been. When I saw the trailer, it just did not. I was like, nope, skipping that one.
Look, I don't know what it is about this movie. It's terrible. It should not work in any level at all. It's got Michelle Rodriguez in it. As a kind of love interest, I'm not sure. It's got Hawkeye in it as well as the good guy turned bad guy. Spoiler alert. But yeah, it's everything about this movie is it's trashy but fun. I think that's what it was for me. It was the action content of it. It just keeps going. They just keep putting them in ridiculous situations to get to that next action scene. And yeah, it's terrible. Nothing about it should work.
have to watch it. I love daring myself. I love a challenge. So when anyone tells me something is so bad that you shouldn't watch it, I immediately go to watch it. So that's interesting. That's not one that I expected you to say. I think most of the time it's because I think of guilty pleasure movies as being older movies. Not that that's new or anything, but I think of like way back 80s, 90s, 70s, even before that. Which leads me to another movie that I was going to mention. And I have no idea how you feel about this movie. Maybe I do. Turbo Man.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah. I can't go one Christmas season without watching it. And I do it as an adult. Even though my daughter, she's past that stage where she thinks it's at least cool or funny to watch it. She's 14 now. She's like, you're watching this again? I'm like, it's Christmas season. I watch it every year. I literally, it's another movie I saw in the theaters, and I don't even know what I was thinking at the time, but
yeah,
I remember going to the local Walmart after we saw it, and they actually had Turbo Man figures in the stores collecting dust. No one was even buying them, but I think that it's a fun watch, but it's not a good movie, and it's definitely a low point for Arnold's career, and I feel bad for him, but hey, it's that family-friendly Christmas movie, you know, it seemed like the right idea at the time, but...
Oh, yeah. Because it's got Sinbad's in that as well, isn't he?
And he's obnoxiously annoying, man. I mean, he's playing the same character he played in pretty much every movie he got parts in the late 90s, mid 90s. And like, I like him. I like him as a comic, and some of his stuff's really good. But he's just unbearable at times. Scenes though is when they're waiting outside to try to get in to see if they could find a Turbo Man. He legit starts choking some old woman. In a movie now.
That's how I picture Sinbad in real life, actually. Just choking out old lady.
Victory Lyman in the chat chiming in. Phil Hartman is the best part of that movie. And I mean, Phil Hartman's the best part of everything Phil Hartman's in. Let's just get that right out there right now.
Hartman.
Look, he's taking another puff.
All right, Nick, buddy, do you tell us? Come on, chime in with your hot ticket item for guilty pleasure movies, man.
Man.
I knew you'd say that.
Oh, we're going there. Are we going there? Are you going there? I knew it.
I unabashedly, unashamedly love the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd movie.
I knew you'd say that.
Gasp. Wow.
Rob Schneider is Fergie. Wait, Justin, we got to do it. We got to do it. What are you doing down there, Judge Hershey?
I'm waiting for backup.
It's here.
Diane Lane, baby.
I would pay any money for you guys to do a live table read of that entire movie. That would be amazing.
Oh my god.
Friends.
I am the law. Drop your weapons.
I used to do that at work all the time. We used to be sitting there in between calls and our all insurance job, and you would just yell that out, and everyone would just look at you like you were schizophrenic or something.
I don't care how bad it is. I know it's not a great movie. It's not. But my god, is it just fun as hell?
I love watching it. I'm 100% down. I'll watch it right now.
Oh my god, it is great. I don't know, we're not really doing lists or anything, we're just kind of talking about random different movies, right?
I threw two movies out there already, so I didn't know if there's any I didn't know.
Well,
no, just random order, just let's just talk about shitty movies, and that's definitely up the top there, I think.
I gave Paul the shits yesterday because we were talking about top 10 movies that need a remake, and I was like, I want a Dredd sequel, and I don't care which Dredd universe we get a sequel to. We can get one of the Stallone Dredd. I'm fine with that. If give me more Rob Schneider as Fergie, baby, I'll take it.
For that to happen, he'd have to leave his trailer park, and then he'd have to, you know, leave his Trump supporting home, and go back to
what's
Hollywood.
What's he doing these days? He's like selling meth, right? He's like, because he was some anti-vaxxer or something for a while, wasn't he?
Crazy. He's fucking nuts, man.
Yeah.
Anytime you see anything he tweets, and I'm not on Twitter, but I see, because any tweet that he does makes headlines, so I have to see it. And I'm like, no, I don't know what this guy is doing. Go back to
immediately starts running Rob Schneider Twitter account. Yep, cool. That guy's
he
loopy.
Says, like, he doesn't already follow it.
I look, ever since, was it Juice Bigelow, Male Gigolo 2? What was that one? The European Gigolo?
Yeah.
That's when he lost me officially, I think.
Dude, people were going to the theaters to see that, the animal. What was the other one where he turns into a woman?
Yeah, pass, man. Was it Hot Chick? Was it Hot Chick?
Right, maybe? Yeah. And people were going to see those. Like, he was making money off that, so that just goes
Rob to Schneider is a stapler.
Can the Pope's dick fit through a donut?
All right. Well, going back to some more guilty pleasure movies, and speaking along some of those same lines, give me some Ace Ventura, either number one or number two. I don't know if either of you have watched any of those Ace Ventura movies again recently.
Yes, I have.
Especially that first one. That last third of the movie just does not hold up anywhere past its original release date, because it's just like the gay panic in that movie is atrocious. And pretty much if you can get through all of the guano jokes from the second movie, I think you're fine. Like, they are, you just take those parts out and they are two fantastic movies of Jim Carrey in his prime.
We love
Can 100% cock. Agree.
Who said that?
Nick.
Where'd that
Nick,
come
why are
from?
You? Why are you talking? You always have to bring that. Dick into the conversation.
My mouth did not move.
I'm sorry.
Did not move.
Watch out for Godzilla!
I recently watched When Nature Calls, and I forgot how many times they do the batshit joke. Like,
oh yeah,
literally they overdo it. But I found myself laughing really hard. Of course, him coming out of the rhino's ass. You can't help but just laugh your ass off at that. They're definitely of their time. Like, the type of humor that's in those movies, they doesn't translate to now. But I'm totally fine with that, because I actually prefer to the current era of comedy. I don't necessarily have the same issues with the ending of the first one for me. I just love the fact that the main villain was a dude that turns into a chick and she hates Dan Marino. Like, just think about that. It's literally like one of the funniest premises ever. And they steal a fucking dolphin. I don't know. And he's so good at it. Like, it's at the point when it makes me sad watching it. I'm like, dude, I know that you're into your art now and I respect him. I think he's a great artist and everything else he does. But I'm like, a hollow experience to play that character, but dude, he's so good in it. So
yeah, Jim Carrey, man, he was of his time. He was that sort of late 90s like comic that just everybody was on board for. Now he's fucking crazy. He's not quite Rob Schneider crazy, but he's still crazy.
Is anybody quite Rob Schneider crazy? Wait, what's his name? Randy Quaid. There you go.
Oh yeah,
Randy Quaid is fucking nuts, dude. He's out of his mind. But I'm not going to mention a movie that he's in. But I'm going to talk about a movie that I am very prideful for loving, and I get a lot of shit for it. And last year at the Alamo Draft House, where our God of Podcasting friend Loy Sauce works, I begged him for a long time. Yes, you probably did. Actually, no, you were here, so you didn't do mine. So I don't know where you went to do that.
He did a quick run in the bathroom before he came
in. Check sound check.
So I begged him. I'm like, you got to show this movie. So last year he showed it for the 30th anniversary, and I'm talking about I Have the Power. Masters of the Universe. I love it. I don't care. I loved it as a kid. I love it now. It's not a good movie at all.
What's
and I know
that guy's
a lot of reasons
why. What's his name? What's the little guy's name with the it's like Gidget or something. I don't know. The little guy with he does all the magic stuff.
Yeah. All right, hold on. Right? Gweldar, yes.
What's up, my Nubian friend?
They basically took like the entire, Billy Barty played him. I forgot. He was a little guy that was in a lot of movies. But they basically took like the idea of the show and bastardized it. We did see Beastman in there. We did see some cool creatures and stuff like that. We had Evil Lyn. And I thought Meg Foster was brilliant as Evil Lyn. She looks great in the role. And I think the reason why I love this movie so much, outside of just nostalgic value, is I legitimately think that Frank Langella, even though he chews scenery like no one else on the planet in that movie, he's good. He's charismatic. I like the makeup. I think without that him in the makeup and that presence, the movie wouldn't be anything. But for me, when I watch it, it brings back that nostalgia of being a kid. And I just think, as a guilty pleasure, it's a canon movie. It's a canon movie.
Yeah.
Superhero. Well, they were attempting to do a big superhero spectacle, but obviously with a super low, limited budget. And Dolph Lundgren as the lead. I'll watch it any day of the week. I actually have a t-shirt with the poster on it and everything. I love it. I don't care.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You're right, though. Like, Frank Langella in that movie is fucking amazing. I actually really enjoyed him as Skeletor. And, like, the makeup that they use for him and the mask that they use with the, like, the cutout nose inset thing. Yeah, fantastic. It's really cool. And, of course, we've been teased, you know, He-Man 2, when he, like, pops up at the end out of the goo. Spoilers for this movie. It's fucking fun, though, right? And it's, like you say, it's a Canon Films movie, so... Anything Canon Films is just fucking made. You know, it's been made up on the spot for the smallest amount of budget possible.
Exactly.
So you got to give him props for that, right? You got to give him props for actually just coming up with that in the room.
That's I'm all about that movie. Nick, you probably haven't even seen that movie.
Maybe when I was a kid. I have no interest in seeing it. It looks horrible. I don't have no interest in it.
Horrible.
Your base.
What about you, Nick? Come on, man. Give me some gold. Give me something to work with here with your what's your next guilty pleasure movie?
That's the roar from Gareth Edwards' 2014 Godzilla, of course. I don't have the roar from the 1998 Roland Emmerich Godzilla. Robert Marino's not watching this, right? He's going to disown me if he's watching this, but I unabashedly love that fucking movie. I love it so much, except for Audrey. I hate Audrey. I hate her with a fiery passion. She is horrible. She's from Elmira. She grew up like an hour from where I live. But no, I hate her, but I love that movie. You want to know why, Fuzzy? You want to know why?
I really, really do.
Because it has not one, but two Simpsons alums in it. It has Hank Azaria and Harry Shearer in it. And Harry Shearer is basically just being Kent Brockman in it.
It's very true.
And I'm not beholden to, like, character design. Like, I don't care what the hell it looks like. So... You know, it can be just fine. I love Matthew Broderick. I love Jean Reno as the French guy. The only real problem I have with that movie is the baby Zillas. If you get rid of the whole baby Godzillas thing and like...
But Nick, seeing them in Madison Square Garden is so cool, man.
And all the eggs and stuff. It was great.
God, that was... That whole action sequence, all that was terrible. Because literally they were just trying to ride the coattails of Jurassic Park because The Lost World came out, what, like a year before that?
That's right. It was the year right before it.
Yep. Yeah, so no, screw that nonsense. But I still love that movie. Love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, he said love.
I do. I love it.
My girlfriend said 37 dicks.
We've talked about it many occasions. I own it on Blu-ray. I've watched it on numerous occasions. It was another movie. Yes, I go to the movies a lot. I saw it opening night with my friends, and I actually had bought the action figure
BRB.
Of the new Zilla, and I walked in with it. I was in like eighth grade, mind you, and I was walking around with a toy, but I don't really give a shit. I still walk around with toys all the time, so I guess we're in that era now where it's okay to be a grown man and play with toys. I don't really care either way.
Totally. It's totally fine.
I get why people hate it. I really do, because I'm a huge fan of the original Godzilla. I really, for the most part, like Gareth Edwards' Godzilla as well. And I like a lot of the Godzilla sequels. And I think a lot of Godzilla fans tend to forget that a lot of the sequels, like there's a lot of Godzilla movies that are just straight trash. They're fun to watch, but it's not like they're art. You know what I mean? It's not cinema, so to speak. It's just fun guys in suits fighting each other, and I like that. I'm totally cool with that. But so then when they all like spew venom all over shit Godzilla movie, I'm like, you gotta kind of reflect on what you've already got. So I get it. I get the hate.
I watched the 1954 original Godzilla movie this week for my podcast that I'm going to be recording later today. it's fantastic, but it's batshit crazy, right? And I think they kind of captured a little bit of that magic in 1998, but I mean, there's so much wrong with that film for me. Like, what was it? They started as worms or frogs
earthworms.
Or something.
It was earthworms. Yeah. You're the worm guy, and they mentioned that like 1,000 times. Oh, what is it? Worms? It's like an ongoing joke that's not funny. It wasn't funny the first time. So when they keep mentioning, oh, you're the worm guy.
Yeah.
Okay, we got that. The third, or like, seriously, stop it. And his name's like Titopoulos or something, and that they keep fucking up his name. Like, they fuck up his name every time that he has to continue correcting them. That's not funny either at all whatsoever. So, yeah, there's like things like that that I don't like. And I kind of like the idea. You'd think about it. Why don't we have the Godzilla lay eggs in Madison Square Garden is full of them? I think visually that when they were doing the storyboards and they were doing concept art, it probably looked really cool. The idea sounds cool, but the execution was they looked like shit. I didn't, unlike Nick, I don't like the design at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a giant iguana and the face looks really bad. Like, it's like they went in and Roland Emmerich was like, I don't like anything about Godzilla, because he was known that he didn't care about it at all. He's like, just make that thing look like a giant fucking lizard. I can just hear him saying it. So
just whatever, put something up on the fucking screen so that we can work with it. and like I said, having watched the original and seeing the original design that they had, they literally had a hand painted puppet, like hand puppet with googly eyes in it on its face. It looks fucking stupid, but I mean, this one looks more stupid. And I mean, it looks like, the biggest part for 1998 Godzilla is Matthew Broderick for me. Like, I can't fucking stand that guy. He's in, I don't like him at all. Like, Ferris Bueller, he's like the worst part of that movie. Everybody else in that movie is great, apart from him.
I won't lie to you, I'll be totally honest with you. He has a totally punchable face in Ferris Bueller. I like him, but you definitely want to punch his face a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was around in everything back then, and like some great movies that I loved as a kid. So things like War Games as well. Like, I just he's around all the time. I can't stand him. But that's that's just me. That's just Matthew Broderick and me. We have a personal thing going on.
I got another movie I'm going to jump into, and it's actually a sequel to a movie that late last night Loisos fell asleep to on my couch. I love the first film. I still think of it as one of my favorite comic book adaptations or adaptations of a cartoon ever. The sequel, not so good, not nearly on the level, but I still find it fun as this popcorn nostalgia. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Give me that ooze.
I have fun with it, you know, and it's another movie. Yes, again, I'll repeat myself. I saw opening night, and I have a lot of fond memories of that whole series, seeing those movies with my grandmother. She used to take me to this really run down, shitty theater in like this part of the city that you shouldn't go to. And it's close to where she lived. And I remember being really excited by it, and I really liked it as a kid. And watching it as an adult, I still do watch it from time to time. And it's clear that they decided to go in and make a much more family friendly, much more cartoonish. First one has got dark elements. You see kids smoking in it and drinking beer. People are actually getting locked in it. They're actually using their weapons a lot in the fights. The fights are very well choreographed for what the technology they had with the suits, with the mechanics and everything. And in the second one, you barely see them using their weapons. Like, they use them in the opening of the film. That's it. The rest of the movie, I guess parents complained so much that they decided they took the weapons out almost the entire movie.
Yeah.
And then, of course, instead of getting, Bebop and Rocksteady, we got Tokar and Rezar. So a giant snapping turtle and a giant wolf, which when you watch them now, you're like, it's just guys in custom costumes.
Yeah, like they must have spent a whole $30 on the costumes for those movies, because they were atrocious. But that was the fun of it, right? Like, that was that you could see the foam, you could see the guys almost passing out from heat exhaustion and those things.
Exactly.
That was the fun of those movies. I did love in the first movie Casey Jones and all of the weapons that he had in that movie. And you're right, they took all of those out for the second movie, because they're like, no, we can't have kids. Because kids were literally picking up their dad's golf clubs or cricket bats and going around and whacking people. Like, they can't have that shit anymore.
They had swords and scythes and stuff like that. And those are dangerous weapons and nunchucks. It's like literally everything you could think of. you know, I remember being a kid on the playground and grabbing a stick near a tree and like, this is my bow, this is my staff, I'm Donatello, and like trying to whack a kid. So yeah, we were definitely trying to turn that into a reality.
Right, Fuzzy,
hey, look,
Fuzzy, it is 7:30, so we have to unfortunately say goodbye to you. But besides, obviously, the Podfix Network, which we love, but let the audience know really quick where they can find Who Spiked the Puns and what you do.
Sure, sure. So whospikedthepuns.com is the place to go for all of your Who Spiked the Puns news and updates. We take two movies each week and we mash them together to create something unexpectedly awesome. It's pretty cool. Go back and listen to our Touch of Resident Evil episode with with my big boy Nick on it.
Chili.
Yeah. Chili.
That chili.
Fuck, God. That was funny.
GM Orson Welles.
That guy's the best. We chucked that together. Yeah, Touch of Evil and Resident Evil. We put those together and made something quite amazing. There was quite a lot of crossover in those two movies. So it was pretty cool. So go back and listen to that. There's a huge back catalog available on the website.
All right. Well, Fuzzy, thank you very, very much for joining us here during the live stream for The Cure. We absolutely love you. Thank you very, very much for being here.